This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I know Elder Dion prayed fervently for Pastor McCoy, and I'll be taking that prayer for myself. Pastor McCoy was ready to jump on the podium for me, and I'll tell you what just happened. I just spent a week in Hawaii supporting my mother who went into surgery. And the schedule was for me to fly out of Honolulu at 1 p.m. yesterday afternoon, connect in California, and then connect to Florida and be here at 5:30 this morning. I was on time. I wasn't running for any gates this time, okay? I know y'all remember that story. But when we landed in California, the plane sat on the tarmac for 45 minutes. Waiting to get a spot to park into the gate. And my connecting flight was 45 minutes upon landing. And so as I sat there checking my time and wondering what was gonna happen, and my fellow passengers were making a way for me to sit on the end of the aisle, and I told the stewardess, I said, I have a flight that leaves. We'd already been sitting for 15. I have a flight that leaves in 30 to Fort Lauderdale. And she goes, oh, they all know about that, honey. You're gonna get off this plane. 20 minutes later, the intercom goes on and says, will the person going to Fort Lauderdale please stand up? And I'm the only person that stood up. And they started wheeling my luggage down the plane. And then I sat, and they still didn't open the door. And I was looking at the time, and my flight out was 10:05, and it was 9:55 p.m. And they said, where do you have to be in the morning? We can get you to Fort Lauderdale at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. I said, that's not going to work. I need to preach. And the stewardess says, well, you better pray to your God. And so I get off the plane. They point me in a different direction. And I end up having to go another direction. And I got to that gate. And they said, your flight is closed. There is no way you can get on this flight. And I begged and pleaded. I said, you know, it was you guys left me on the tarmac for 45 minutes. And they said, I'm so sorry. We'll try to get you out of here. They turned me around and walked me to the opposite gate and checked me into a flight going out of North Carolina. So I flew to North Carolina, and I was texting Pastor Kevin, and I said, you just might have to preach because it says I won't get in till 10. But I kid you not, we landed from North Carolina. I hopped on another plane, and we landed in Fort Lauderdale at 9:25. And it was a sight to behold. If you were to look into my van to see a woman struggling to change into church dress and slap on makeup. So if I look a little off kilter, it was 10 minutes of that. But I tell you something, God proved that the devil is a liar. There is a message here today that he wanted heard. And I do not know what's in store for this morning. I'm on pins and needles because I was off and on. Like, am I going to get there? Am I not going to get there? Lord, I'm not going to get there. But I'm here, and God's here. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for sitting in the gap for me. Let's pray. Father God, You are an almighty God. You showed me beyond measure what it means to wait on you through this last, 17 hours. And I've waited, Lord, and I claim your promises of how you will bring your children closer to you today. In your name we pray, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles or your digital Bibles, your physical Bibles to Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2. And we find, and I will just warn you now, this is a Mother's Day sermon, and I will try to incorporate you fathers as much as possible, but for today, this is for the women. And I pray that you gentlemen will also gain a blessing. So we go to Exodus chapter 2, and we find the story of Moses and when he is born. And it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, why did she hide him 3 months? She hid him 3 months because there was a decree that went out into the nation at that time that all male firstborns would be killed. Not firstborns, just all males. Will be killed. Doesn't matter if, you know, you were 1 or 2 months, that you will be killed because the king did not want more to take over. And so she knew this. And she hid Moses for 3 months. This is Jochebed, for those of you who may not know her name, and this is the first time you're hearing her story. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Think about this, mother. Perhaps she has already watched as her friends have lost their little boys. And she has been toiling in her heart on what to do to save her own. And bing, bright idea, let's put them in a basket. Now, who would put their baby in a basket and float that basket down a river? A desperate mother would. A desperate mother, desperate to save her child. And so she knew how to make a pitch, a tar to seal the basket. And can you imagine the tears she must have shed as she wrapped her child in this basket and placed him in there, not knowing what was going to become of her baby, only knowing that she is laying him in the hands of God. Could you do this? Could you put your child into a little basket and float him off into the waves off of Fort Lauderdale Beach with full faith that your Heavenly Father would watch over? I can imagine the tears she must have shed and the prayers she must have prayed as she wrapped her little boy, placed him in, kissed the top of the basket, and pushed it off into the river. And then the instruction to Big Sister Miriam to go and just watch where that basket would lead. Now, some might wonder, why didn't Jochebed herself go and walk along the riverbed and watch where that basket would lead? She couldn't, because obviously there's something floating in there and the babies are supposed to be killed. So nobody would question a child walking along a riverbank. But they would question an adult peering off into the water at some object. And so you know the story. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister, Miriam, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women?" Smart little girl. She didn't say, "Shall I go and call my mother, who is the mother of that baby?" She said, "Shall I go and call a nurse that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him up out of the water." Can you imagine the gift that her faith brought back to her? Not only was her child alive, not only was it picked up by the Pharaoh's daughter, but the child was given back to her with the opportunity to raise him in the fear and nurturing of the Lord, to instill in him who God was. And she got paid for watching her own child. This is amazing how God works when we put our faith in him, when we don't know what the future is going to hold, when before us it seems absolute destruction, but we say, "Lord, I place my faith in you," and we let go and we let God. This is what happens. This is how we are rewarded. Now, we know the story of Moses. These humble beginnings became what taught him and what afforded him to become the leader to bring his people out of Egypt. See, Jochebed stood in the gap for Moses. She interceded for Moses. It doesn't say she prayed, but I can almost guarantee that as a woman putting her child in a river, she's going to pray. She prayed over her children, she prayed over his livelihood, and she prayed as she watched her child grow in him. Now, this story is similar. You've read and you've seen on the news the stories of the immigrant children coming upon the U.S. border. Have you seen that story about someone dropping two babies over the fence? Have you seen the story about that one Nicaraguan boy who was walking along because the group that he had been traveling with had left him in the middle of the night? And he was sobbing and went to a police officer and said, "I don't know where the group went. I was sleeping with them and everybody's gone and they left me and I'm afraid of being kidnapped or killed." These children come from parents who have let them go in faith that their children will somehow, or let's be honest, sometimes these children are kidnapped and brought as a ransom into the U.S. But for the most part, as I have read, these children are let go from their parents, Their parents in faith give them over to a family member, somebody that they pay to take them over to the U.S. where there is some relative that could take that child and be safe. And eventually the rest of the family can come. Can you imagine the thoughts that run through these parents' mind, and as they imagine the walk these children must take, miles and miles, perhaps maybe swimming a little. We don't know, but the journey is arduous, and the thoughts are, I hope my child makes it to America alive. And these are where parents start to intercede and pray. This is the faith that they gather to let their children go. As parents, what kind of faith do you have to let your children go into the hands of God? Even when they're grown, even when we've taught them everything that they know, how do you let them go into the hands of God when you have no control over what happens once they walk out your doors? And the answer may seem very simple, but it is, what, church? How do you let them go? You? Someone's muttering at me, and I can't hear you through your mask. You're heartbroken, and what do? You pray. You pray. In Exodus 19, it says, 19:4, it says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God is talking about the protection that he afforded the Israelites as he brought them out of Egypt. This is to have faith in a God who will bring them up on eagle's wings. You've heard that. And I will soar with you on eagle's wings. Why do they use this in the Bible? Because an eagle not only stirs up the nest, but an eagle protects. And did you know that when eagles mate for life, that's one partner, and the test that they do is they soar up, both the male and the female, and then they drop. They free fall like they're about to die. Because this truly is the test. They are willing to die. And their commitment is they lock their talons right before they hit the ground and they swoop back up again. And they do this challenge to prove to each other that I've got you and you've got me. This is why God is saying we have to be so close to him that he is our eagle and we have to trust in him to protect us. This is the relationship that he is calling us into so that we can fully intercede for our children with him. When Chance, sorry son, I know you gave me permission to say this, but last year sometime, Chance had called me, or was it the year before? It was the year before. He called me and he said, Mom, you know, I didn't want to tell you this, but one night I was lying in bed. It was late at night and suddenly I felt a pressure on my chest. An unknown feeling of, around me. And pressure, like I was being choked and I didn't know what to do. And I remembered what you said. You said, call upon the name of the Lord. And I called out for him, and the pressure eased. And then a few minutes later, the pressure, like something, someone was sitting on my chest again. And I was calling out for my roommate, help, help, help. But nothing came out of my mouth. And I began to pray in my mind, Mom, Jesus, Jesus, save me, Jesus. And so I'm on the phone, I'm like, and then what happened? And then it went away. But then 2 weeks later, I didn't want to tell you, Mom, because, well, I don't know what you would do. 2 weeks later, it happened again, Mom. I was lying there and suddenly I couldn't breathe because that thing was sitting on my chest. And I called out again, Jesus, save me. And I realized, son, you're going through spiritual warfare. What are the things that are happening in college right now? Are you helping somebody? What are you doing? He told me some of the things. I'm helping, you know, someone get counseling for this. I'm helping a friend through that. I said, these very things are the things that Satan doesn't want you to do to bring your friends closer to him. And he's stopping you and he's scaring you. So fight, son. Fight like how I taught you to fight. And fight in prayer. And I could do nothing else but sit at home hundreds of miles away and pray for my son in spiritual warfare, interceding for him. And later he said, Mom, it's gone away. Nothing has happened. And I think it's true what you said. Satan's trying to get a hold of me. Keep praying for me, Mom. In Psalms 23, you know this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, let me tell you, when you think about the Lord being your shepherd and making you lie down in green pastures, and you think of sheep, you know, you're the sheep in this context. And when you think of this thought, what are your thoughts? I just want a couple people from our congregation to say, what are your thoughts that pop up into your mind? Anybody? Peace. But give me an imagery of where are you and what are you doing?
Tranquility.
Serene. All right. Anybody else? Crickets? Green grass meadows. Yes. So I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I think of this verse, I think of big fluffy white sheep rolling around and sitting in lush green valleys and just basking in the watch of a shepherd. That's what I think of. But I want to share something with you. I watched a documentary recently about how shepherds in the Mediterranean shepherd their sheep. And a famous archaeologist, historian, was there showing his students, look upon this craggy hillside, this rocky hillside. Do you see the shepherds? And there were two shepherds on this rocky hillside. And he said, this is their green pasture. And I had to rewind that video and look again. And I'm like, there is no green pasture in that video. All I see are rocks. And he said to the students, what do you see? And they told this professor, we see rocks. Right. Do you see those little sprigs of grass that are dotting the hillside? This is the green pastures of the sheep. And they didn't understand. So the professor said, when you think about Psalms 23 and the shepherds and the sheep rolling around in green pastures, think about what would happen if that truly was the imagery. If God were to lay you in a pasture full of food, the sheep would get big and they wouldn't want to move because they're so comfortable. But this is truly what a green pasture is. You see these little shrubberies? And he bends down, and he moves some rocks, and he says, at night when the mist comes through, it wets the rocks and it grows a few shrubs. And so when you see these shepherds leading their sheep, they are leading them to each shrub where there is a handful, a good mouthful for that sheep to munch on until that sheep moves on again, until the shepherd moves them on. And every 5 or 10 minutes, they'll move on and get another mouthful of food because the shepherd is giving them exactly what they need. He's not overflowing them with a bounty. They are trusting in the shepherd to lead them to each bite and reveling in what they receive just for the moment. So when you're there and you're thinking, is God going to feed me? This gave me a whole new conception of what it is to walk in green pastures. It is to fully trust that the Lord God, our shepherd, is not going to overwhelm me with what I can't handle, but will give me enough to sustain me until he leads me to the next mouthful. This is what those green hills are talking about. When you are like Jochebed, you would have to have that connection to the Savior to be able to lie in green pastures and fear not, because she knows that her shepherd is watching over her. I just, as I said, came from Hawaii. Now, you all know that I was gone. My family and I were gone to Hawaii for about a month in February to take care of my mother, who had gotten into a bad accident, who was supposed to have undergone surgery, but she didn't because she had had that accident. So we went home to take care of both my parents. My father had been in and out of the hospital as well. So we've come back here, and she still has, you know, the breast cancer hasn't gone away. The lump is still in her breast. She was considering, when do I take this surgery, because it's been postponed so many times. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Maybe God is stopping me because he knows I might die in this surgery. And the doctors and we as her family convinced her. So her surgery was scheduled for summer. And last week she called me in a panic and said, Jen, the doctors don't like what they see. They don't like the growth. It's growing too fast. They have found a slot for me next week, and they're going to remove it, and can you come? She was so panicked and on tears, sobbing on the phone. And what do you do as a daughter but you answer and you go? And so right after Pastor Joe's Sabbath luncheon, as I was tapping my watch, I ran home, threw clothes into a suitcase, and hopped on a plane and was there. Helped my mom through the week until the day of her surgery. She was so nervous. Her blood pressure kept spiking before the procedure as I sat next to her, because I was going to sleep there that night. I anointed her and said, Mom, you're going to be okay. I'll see you on the other side. If not here, then in heaven. And she went, of course, did the procedure. And then she woke up, and I went to join her. And do you know what they found? What was supposed to have been, and what they had thought all along, was a pea-sized tumor that had grown into a walnut. That's what they thought they were removing. But when they opened her up, they found a tumor the size of a small avocado. And they took it out, checked her lymph nodes, and gave her a full left breast mastectomy. And she came out praising God. Because had we all praised God, because had it stayed any longer, without us knowing, it could have grown bigger and been worse and spread. And so she had the faith to walk into a surgery, placing, and no matter all the things that had gone on to her in this past year and a half, especially in February, but she turned and she placed her faith back in Jesus. And finally, allowed him to calm her so her blood pressure would drop. And she allowed it to happen. See, this is the faith of our mothers and our fathers, but that gets passed down to their children as we watch. This is the faith that I've witnessed over and over throughout my years that I've passed on to my son, so he could intercede for himself, so he could intercede for others. This is the faith that God is asking you to take on. He is asking you to be like sheep. Lie down in these pastures and know that I am with you. He's asking me, forget all the missed flights and redirections that I've sent you on in the last 17 hours. Trust in me to get you there. God is calling all of you to build up that faith and that relationship with him so that when these times come, you can lie still and know that he is God. So that you can take your baby and float him down a river. So you can take all your cares and place it at the foot of the cross and not take it back. And know that he has you and that he will see you through. This is the God that he wants you to know of. This is the God that he wants you to have a relationship with. Don't let it be too late, because you've seen what this year has brought, this last year and a half has brought us. Let this be a new calling upon your life to get closer, to lock talons with the eagle who is our almighty God, and to rest in his pastures.
Are you doing the benediction?
Yeah, when?
Well, after the song, right?
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Happy Sabbath again, church.
Amen, amen.
We thank you so much for Pastor Jen being brought safely here to deliver
Hallelujah.
A message from the Lord. We invite you
thank
to stand
you,
right
Lord.
Now.
We
invite you to stand as we close the service out, just reminding ourselves about God's love. Our God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share us with the world. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm okay with that.
Amen.
And
amen.
It's something that we ought to continually just remind ourselves. We belong to him. Amen?
Amen.
How he loves
amen.
Us so. That's the song we're going to sing. How he loves us so.
Yes, yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh. He is jealous. For me,
come on, sing, sing.
Blows like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions. Just how beautiful. afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
With you, that you want us so close, that you want us to lock talons with you and trust us as you take us to a nosedive so you can bring us back up. Father, allow us to open up our hearts and trust you fully, Father, to give ourselves wholly and completely back to you, so that we can be a testament to those around us. In your name we pray, amen. May I invite you to please sit, and you will be dismissed row by row. And also, because it's Mother's Day, somewhere out there in the foyer, there is a special gift box. That's what I was told. So mothers, don't forget to grab that on your way out. Have a happy Sabbath and have a happy Mother's Day.
Church.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.